hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week, right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazeri. Take it away, guys.
Break the door, it's locked. There's no way out.
Now back in making his fourth appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Pro Bowl defensive back Chris Dishman. Let me remind you a little bit about Chris's background. He is from Louisville, Kentucky. Played his college ball at Purdue, where he was a dual sport athlete and an all Big Ten defensive back and a member of their track team. Graduated with his degree in criminal justice, was a fifth round draft pick of the Houston Oilers back in 1988, and he played in the league from 88 to 2000 for the Oilers, Redskins, Chiefs, and Vikings. Selected to the Pro Bowl in 1991 and 97. Over the course of his career, he had 793 tackles, 43 interceptions, forced 15 fumbles, recovered 16, and he scored 6 touchdowns. And we are honored he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Chris. Chris and Bob, thanks for coming back.
Welcome
on the
back,
show.
Chris.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it. Shit, I'm gonna need you a tailgate T-shirt or something, man. It's my fourth one.
Absolutely.
We can do that.
That's right. We'll make that happen. So, Chris, I wanted to start our time with you tonight by getting your thoughts on your Purdue Boilermakers. First, were you surprised to see Jeff Brohm turn down the head coaching job when his alma mater, Louisville, came calling?
Oh, well, I'm glad he did. You know, I think Jeff had he had some unfinished business there, as he stated, there at Purdue. You know, Purdue is up on the upscale of winning. They're building their facilities is one of the first class facilities around. They're building a good facilities. So I think the talent wise, there, he saw the talent pool that Purdue was bringing it half compared to what's at Louisville. And I guess that's when he decided to go back to Purdue. You have a better chance of winning there.
And Chris, when you look at their season, 6-6 was how they ended the regular season, but a nice turnaround after starting 0-3, including some big wins, obviously over Ohio State. That was huge. Also beat Iowa. They've got Auburn coming up in the Music City Bowl next Friday. Your expectations for the bowl game, and then as you mentioned, as we look ahead to 2019, is this a team that can, you know, be consistently at the top of the Big Ten?
Yes, it can. You know, like I said, they got some good talent coming back, and also they recruited some good guys. I've been looking at the guys they recruited. There's already going to some early signings that they have. So I'm expecting them to win the bowl game. I expect them to be finish 7-6 and go into the spring ball at a positive note.
Bob, questions for Chris?
Great to have you back, Chris. And I think we mentioned it last time or maybe a couple times before that. When you came into the league with the Oilers, one of your secondary coaches there was Nick Saban. And I was just very interested, Chris, in knowing back then what qualities did he show that would obviously explain the success he has today. What was your relationship like with him, and what kind of football man did you believe he was?
I had a great relationship with Nick. Nick is a very detail-oriented coach. He laid a good foundation for me as a defensive back, as far as paying attention to the little stuff. Like he always said, everybody can be there in the first quarter. Everybody want to play. It's how you play in the fourth quarter. That shows you as a player and as a man. And that's where the foundation he laid for me is more than anything is been always, you know, making sure I did the little things right. You know, he always was correcting me, and like he told me before, he said, I'm correcting you now, so therefore later you don't have to deal with those type of corrections. You know, so Nick is if I have a son that want to play defensive back and get any offer from Alabama, if Nick's still coaching, I would tell my son that's the best place to go to, because he is going to make you stay on your P's and Q's. He's going to be very detailed. He's going to make sure that you live up to your responsibility. He's going to hold you accountable. And that's the type of player that I was, and that's the type of coach he was.
And Chris, how about your memories of playing in the Astrodome? Chris and I talk about it all the time. It seemed like a dark place. This is the original artificial turf down in the Astrodome, but how did you like it? Of course, indoors all the time, but as far as the turf and everything, the experience of playing in one of the great wonders of the world at the time.
Well, at the time, I think it still is, that the Astrodome was one of the 8th wonders of the world. Yeah. And playing in the Astrodome when we was winning was rocking. you know, the House of Pain was rocking. We had that thing going. So it was probably one of the worst stadiums to come and play because of the fan base. And going past the Astrodome now compared to the MRG Stadium, it's totally different. NRG Stadium towers over the Astrodome. You know, it's crazy. Wow. They both fight each other and they just tower over it. But, you know, just having that thing rock like it did when we played, and the fans and the people to come out and see us play, and just the city itself was buzzing. I think that's great. And that's great. The Texans are winning, you know, have a chance to win their division. I'm excited. And the whole city is just buzzing around the Texans.
Chris, I want to take you back to some of your games that you really stood out in. And one of the biggest games came against the Raiders in 99 when you were with the Chiefs. You had a 47-yard interception return for a touchdown. You had a 40-yard fumble return for a touchdown. And both of those were the difference in the game as you guys came from behind in the fourth quarter to win 37-34. But wanted to get your memories of that game, but particularly taking two turnovers all the way back.
Well, it was exciting because, like I said, I think I had the interception first. And then, you know, at the time the fumble came and I just scooped and ran. We ended up winning that game. It was just the excitement of getting into the end zone twice. I think it was the first time in my career ever happened that my first time ever scoring an NFL game was when Bo McDowell blocked a punt. I think it was with the Jets. He blocked a punt and I was able to scoop and score. That was very exciting. But to be able to score twice in one game, you know, it's like, whoa, you know, and at the time I didn't do any dancing because I don't, you know what I'm saying, nothing like that, but the dances the guys think of now, I think it would have been very fun to be able to do those same type of stuff when I played.
And Chris, 1991 was also one of the great years for you, and as I was looking through all the different game logs, you actually caused a turnover in seven straight games that season. You were named All-Pro. It was your fourth year in the league. So As you were progressing through your career and you got to 91, what was the difference at that point? Had the game slowed down for you at that point to allow you to create those sort of turnovers in seven straight games? What was it about your fourth year in the league that really turned up a notch?
Well, it was the confidence factor that I had in myself, to realize that this is a turning point where I got to, it's a make or break season for me. I have to be able to just put up or shut up and be the player that I want to be. So the game actually did slow down for me. I watched a heck of a lot more film. I prepared myself a heck of a lot harder than what I did in the past. You know, instead of going home at 7:38, I stayed extra, made sure I watched my film, make sure I knew my opponent, kept log books of the receivers that I played against, and went back and revisit those log books. I just watched more film of the offense, studied the coordinators. I just did a heck of a lot more studying that year and from the years on to put myself in position to be no more of my opponents than I did in the past. So I think that's what it was. The fourth year was a turning point. I realized it was a turning point, and I wanted to be known as one of the good players or the great players in the league, and I better start picking it up.
So, Chris, I got to ask you on the opposite side, as you and I communicated a few days ago, and we had Don Beebe on the show last week, and one of the questions that we asked Don was, hey, who were the defensive backs that were, you know, trying to get in your head or might have trash talked you a little bit and that sort of thing? And he told the story of actually facing you his rookie year. I believe it was week 3 in 89. And it was your second year in the league. And you had sort of started talking to him about, I hear you're fast. Let me see it. And then he catches a 63-yard touchdown. Now, that was his only catch in the game. But you came back to the line. You said, yeah, I guess you can run. What do you remember about that?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, I did challenge him on that. He ended up getting one on me. But like you said, it was his only catch. So I guess he could live to tell that story forever. But no, that what he said was true on that story. I did challenge him and see how fast he was. Because, you know, you get your scouting report. See a guy with a 4.4 speed or 4.3 speed, you'd be like, he can't really run that fast. No. And so I questioned the scouting report, but the scouting report did not lie. He was as fast as he said he was. Don is coaching now, right?
Right. Yeah. He's the new head coach of Aurora University outside of Chicago. So yeah, he just got that job
about
a month ago.
I can't believe he didn't call me for a job.
Oh, well, we'll put that bug in his ear. I promise you.
I'm going to have to get on him. I can't believe he didn't call me.
We'll put that along. I promise you.
Yeah, Chris, I wanted to ask you just one last one about the one year you spent in Kansas City in 99. Here you are. You're well into your 30s, and you might have had, like, your best year. It was an amazing year for you in Kansas City. You talk about loud and fans coming out. That's one place where it was like that. Was it a good experience for you in KC?
Oh, it was a great experience. When I played for Kansas City, I loved playing in Kansas City. When I didn't play for Kansas City, I hated playing in Kansas City because the fans were so loud. It's probably the loudest outdoor stadium that you can be around. You know, you're talking about pregame warm-up, you know, two or three hours before the game, and it's packed house in there. It's like people just in the tailgating and the rolls of the cheese, and you hardly ever see a visiting people. They're so far up, you hardly ever see them because there's so much red and gold in that stadium. It's crazy. And at the end of the national anthem, when they sang the home of the, and don't say Braves and say the home of the Chiefs, that whole stadium just roared. It's like crazy. And playing with the Redskins, hearing that gives you that chill bump. It's like, okay, I got to go and do something special. But another thing, playing against them, you hear that, you'd be like, oh, this is kind of intimidating the way it is, because you know they're going to be from start to finish, those fans are going to be in there. And you hardly ever see Chiefs fans leave, no matter what. They're going to be in there from start to finish. So it was a great experience playing there. I had a great time. You know, it was just the atmosphere was wonderful. But like I said, playing against them and against the Oilers, I hated coming in there because I knew exactly what it was going to be like. It was going to be a tough game each and every time we played them.
Chris, you've got a new podcast out called Dish Happens, which I see is available over on SoundCloud. You've got 3 episodes to this point. Let our listeners know all the things you're talking about and how they can check you out.
Well, we're Goat Skills Co. right now. And like I said, it's on SoundCloud. So you can go to goatskillsco.com. And Dish Happens, we're going to be doing podcasts. Right now, we're going on Coaches Week. We're honoring out all the coaches, and people are bringing in requests of the coaches to be honored. We're honoring all the coaches we think that was legendary in our high school, college, and pro career. So that's what we got going on now is Coaches Week. So if you guys got any coaches that you want to honor, go to Goat Skills Co. And send us a note, and we'll be able to shout out to them too. Because like I always said, coaches, your high school coach and your college coach or your pro coach, coaches are a very pivotal point in a person's life. You know, I can name about 10 to 12 of my great coaches that I knew that I've had over the years that kept me on point and kept me to be steady and be the person that I am today.
Chris, how can our listeners also follow you and stay up to date with all the great things you're doing on social media as well?
Well, chrisdishman.com is the website, and my Twitter page is like it is, Chris Dishman. My Facebook is the same thing, Chris Dishman. So it's, everything's there. You know, you just Google me and find out my Twitter and Facebook and Instagram page. And Goat Skills is cold. Is like I said, you can go there, and we have Goat Skills T-shirts and hats and beanies coming available soon. So make sure you guys stay tuned. And you guys send me one of your T-shirts, and I send you a Goat Skills T-shirt. So we just
do a trade
like that.
Absolutely, I love that. Well, Chris, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. We hope you'll come back and do it again soon. Keep us updated with all the great things you're doing. And, as the podcast progresses and the things that you're doing, we'd love to have you come back and update our listeners as well and let them know all about it. So thanks for your time. We hope you'll be back soon.
Sounds great, guys. Have a great one.
Thanks, Chris.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and your family, Chris.
Thank you. Same to you.
That is the great Chris Dishman. And Bob, you want to talk about Goat Skills, as it sounds, right? G-O-A-T, Goat Skills is the name of his camp and his site and the great things that he's doing. And when we talk about Goat Skills, it's because the other guys that he has that are a part of his camp and a part of the things that he's doing are Rod Woodson, Daryl Green, Warren Moon, Mike Singletary, Andre Reed, Damon Allen, and Mike Rozier. Pretty strong lineup, Bob.
Yeah, and again, Chris Dishman was such an underrated player. Chris played until he was 35, and defensive backs at that age, you think of guys like Daryl Green, right? And he was right there. I mean, the stats he put up and everything. So we're honored to have him on anytime he wants to come on.